Thank you, Ron, and good evening, everyone. It's good to be here, and it's good that we can sit around the table and discuss the Lord's Word, and hope that it'll be something that will stick to our minds and hearts, that we can readily see and know something about these seven last epistles, and to realize what the Apostle Paul is putting forth to us here, and also to see and understand that this study tonight is, like Brother Larry Dyer used to say, is another thimble full of a truckload that we got to bring. So whether or not we ever get the truckload emptied, but we'll still bring the thimble as much as we can and get as much.
Keep dishing it out with them thimbles, right?
Yeah, because it's these last seven books are those that Paul had gotten and at least part of it was when he was chained to a guard, and but he had a house that was prepared for him, and so he was staying in his own hired house, but he was staying with a palace guard there until he got to see the big man of Rome there that he was scheduled to meet with to get his freedom back. And so these, we're in Philippians again, and it's chapter 3 in Philippians. And, this is study of the book of the study that we started out with was wisdom. And, speaking of wisdom, we all have minds that, should be inquisitive. And it's something that the Lord had given us to where we can do business or converse with or deal with other individuals as we go down through this life's way. And so we learn things as we go, but generally they are things of the world. And so when Paul got this understanding of mystery truth, where he penned these last seven books, God laid on him a pretty good load. And we're in chapter 3 of Philippians. And we left off last week. We went a little bit through verse 11, and I'm just going to go back and read it again. But this is study 78 in these studies. So if you think back and we've missed two or three or four, but, you know, we've been involved in this thing for a year and a half, at least. And today's date for the tape is the third day of February, 2021. And like I say, we made it down through verse 11, and we usually get four or five verses, maybe five or six a night if it's a good night. But this is something that you can't just sit down at one time and go through all these things, because Jack Eberle wrote a book called The Workman's Interlinear, and it would take you more than a day to go through the book and read it if you...
Just reading it.
If you just reading it. Not studying it, but reading it. Not going back and looking up any of the verses that he wanted you to look at as we went along, too. So let's look at 11 again, as is put in the King James Version. And Paul was looking at this and saying, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, or the ek anastasia, or ek nekron. And it was something that Paul understood that God had given him, but he didn't know where he had attained to it or not. Or that word attained there is to arrive at. And we talked about that a little bit. There's four places in Paul's writings in the here that he talks about arriving at. And I believe the first one was Acts 16:1, where he was arriving to meet Timotheus or Timothy. And Timothy was a constant companion with him from that time forth. So I don't know what their dealings was before this particular meeting, but anyway, he mentions, and that's what it means there in 11, talking about attained, to come to that fact of knowing whether or not he had been given this situation, and that given that is quite a lot of understanding there. It says if in that word in the Greek is ei, and it's the subjective mood. If here, if you go back and look at it in the appendices of the Companion Bible, this is a subjective mood of if, and it's a hypothetical but possible condition, consisting or counting on the circumstances that is being said. Here, it puts the condition with more certainty as being more dependent upon the events. And and if you want to look at that, you can go back to 1 Corinthians 4:14-5 and read that if you want to, because that's where I picked that to arrive at here. It's on page 17:18, 17:19, I believe, in the Companion Bible. It says, if by any means, or at least, I might attain. And that word contain, attain there, is in the Greek, is the best I can pronounce it, is kata nateo. It's that 16:1 of Acts. And that's to arrive at, or unto the resurrection, and ek, or out resurrection, out from the rest of the dead ones. And there's a really good note that we read in the Companion Bible about that. And we won't go and look these verses up again, but we'll just go on to our study as we get involved with it tonight. In 12, we'll read 12:2 from the King James Version. And he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And so, my notes on this, did these yesterday. And it says, not as though or that I had already attained or received, and that's that same word, katanateo, or came to this, or either were already perfect. And perfect there is the word teleu. And it means to make a full end or consummate. So if you want to look that up in the appendices. It's appendices 125-2. And he says, but I follow after or to press after if, and that's the word EI again, that I may apprehend. And apprehend here is catalambano. I hope that's close enough. And it means to comprehend by experience or to understand fully. That for which also I am apprehended. And I added also there, I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And so, Paul understood that he was pressing after or reaching out for this resurrection that he wanted, that was like the resurrection of the Lord of Christ Jesus. And he knew that he had a resurrection, but he wanted that special resurrection, that out resurrection like the Lord had, in a sense. Not that he was going to give his blood for anyone, but that he would be called out from among others that were still dead. And that was what I think he had upon his mind at that time. And let's read what come down out of the Koine Greek in verse 12. It said, not that already I received or already have been completed. I guess that's where we got perfect there. I am pursuing, but if I may lay hold upon that also, I was laid hold of by Jesus Christ. So here there are some things that implies that, you know, he still is not really certain. He's certain of what he knows, but, we'll just go on and read what, Jack says, but we'll go on down with the English version. It says, not that I already received or already have been completed. But I am pursuing, if also I may lay hold upon, also as I lay hold of, as I was laid hold of by Jesus, by Christ Jesus. And Jack's notes here says, Paul hasn't received everything God had for him yet. He knows that God is still working in him. He is still walking the path. Paul is walking the walk. He is pursuing the goal of God's glory. He wishes to lay hold on the spiritual attainments which God has laid out for him. Christ Jesus has a plan for him and a will that he attains certain goals or a goal. And we're going to look at Ephesians 2:10, and we're going to look at Galatians 1:16. This is the two verses that Jack says that we need to look at here. So we'll go back to Galatians and look at Galatians first, and that's Galatians 1:16. Okay, go to Galatians 1. Okay, it's on page let's look at Ephesians 2:10. I'm sorry. I wrote down may have wrote down the wrong one. Now, let's see what Ephesians 2:10 says. You can't. No, this is right, I guess. It says, well, we'll just go back to 8 because we've been over it before here in Ephesians 2. For by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And this is on page 1762. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So that's Ephesians 2:10. So let's look at Ephesians 3. Probably going to have to turn the page. Let's look at Ephesians 3:18. Page 1765. Ephesians 3:18 says this, and we may be able to comprehend or to come to a full understanding with all the saints what is the breadth and the length. And this, we're talking here about the love of God, but we can associate it with the things on the earth and the depth and the height. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now we went over this a little bit before when we were in Ephesians. But you know, if you go out and you buy property here now, we can understand the breadth and the length. Generally, when you buy land or something like that, you get a plat or you get a map with it that tells you what is yours. And so we can understand a little bit about breadth and length. We've come to know a little bit about time, too, how fast the speed of light is. And all these things, a lot of these things that God has left with us. There's a couple of things here that he talks about. The depth and the height. And that deals with the rest of the finished work of Christ. Christ came and he took away our sins and gave us hope of life again. But that wasn't all that Christ did. He made it possible that we were indwelled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit makes of itself no reputation. So we know about what Christ did. We know about what God dealt with and did. But now we've come to a point that we've read about the Holy Spirit down through Scripture. And we saw that it was either on or with those people, but never indwell those people until about the first chapter of the book of Acts. And so now we have an indwelling. And this indwelling is what I call my GPS, because it's God's perfect Son. In spirit, that he has imparted to me and to those that have this hope. And this hope is to be in the body of Christ.
Amen.
And that time and speed is not important to us if and when we get our spiritual body. and understanding will be heightened too, to that extent. So the depth and the height is that even in this world, we understand that somewhere out there, we're in the bubble. And we call it outer space. We don't know how far it is, but we really can't measure the miles. We just have to say light years. Ever how much time light goes in a second, multiply that by a year, and then the number of light years, we look at these things afar, and we don't know what's out there. But being in the body of Christ and being part of Him, if and when there is anything there, I think that will be a part of what we are involved in. And the same thing with the depth. You know, we can send something down to the Titanic, but man can't go there unless he's in something that keeps this pressure away from him. And that's not the very depths, because they say there's places in the ocean that is 25 miles or more deeper. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Water can hold or can contain a spirit that's filled with Satan here. So we might have to deal with that too. So here's your depth and your height. We don't know what's out there. We really don't know very much about what's down there either. And so when God deals with everything, as we read about in Revelations quite a lot, that there'll be no more seas. So everything is going to be kind of redone again, in a sense. Yep. And the heavenly city is going to come down and rest upon the foundations upon this new earth that we're going to have. Now, I don't know that what kind of deal that being in the body of Christ is, but I do know one thing, that He's going to be the light of that city.
Amen.
And so we may be energized to part of that too. Who knows? So we're kind of like Paul here now, because he's not fully sure of all this stuff. And we read about these things, and we're not, we can't give a real deal about that. Okay, I said Galatians 1:16, so I did put it down too. Let me go back to Galatians. Okay, Galatians 1:15, 16, 17. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, at 15, to reveal His Son in me. Why did he call on Paul to do this? Because he is revealing through Paul now the things that he held back from his son that he didn't reveal when his son was here on earth, because it wasn't time for it to be revealed. That's the only reason I can give. To reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. That's full stop. So what he got from the Father to reveal the Lord Jesus in Paul. And he didn't confer with flesh and blood. He said, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. And after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. So you see, he left Damascus where he had been struck down blind, and the man came and prayed for him and told him, Brother Paul, God will tell you where you're going and what you're going to have to do. And so this is what he doing. There's two ways you can get in and out of Damascus. There's a gate at each end of this walled city, and it's still there if they ain't bummed it away recently. I don't know, but, you know, they've been fighting over there for the last few years. I don't know how Damascus looks today, but it was a road that was called Straight. Two gates. See, when Paul got his sight back, he left there. He could go out the gate because nobody was after him at that point. But he went into Arabia and returned again. And he come back into Damascus, and he stayed in Damascus for 3 years, and he preached and taught Jesus Christ, him crucified and raised from the dead. And these people got real upset about that. And they made a pact among themselves that they wouldn't eat or drink anything until they got rid of him.
Wonder how long it lasted.
And so he was in this walled city now. Think about this. And couldn't get out. So he had to be very careful. And I don't know at what time during these 3 years that they really got a belly full of him, if that's what you want to call it. That's what we might say in the South. But anyway, he was being chased. Well, they took a basket and a rope and let him down outside the wall to where he could get away from there. But now he did stay in Damascus for 3 years. They got to hear Paul where they wanted to hear it or not. And I think it just got with them to a point where, we were going to get rid of him.
Well, there's an interesting note. I was just sitting here thinking about it. There's a note in the CB on that says, it's interesting that although Paul was there for 3 years, there's no record of any converts or anybody coming to know Christ, mainly because they were so enamored with his flipping over to the other side that they couldn't get past that and actually listen to what he was saying.
Okay. I hadn't read
it. Yeah, it's a pretty good note in the CB about that. And it's unusual that him being there for that long, and the scripture never mentions that there was a group of 1,000 or
any convert.
Or a group, they just wasn't there.
Okay. Okay, well that's great. So here, these verses of scripture that we just went over kind of gives us another part of the picture there that maybe we ought to give it some thought. Let's go to 13. Verse 13 says this in Philippians of chapter 3. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or to have really laid hold upon this out resurrection. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So Paul thought it necessary to get involved here with, he says, brethren, speaking of course to those Jews, and also to the heathen here. He says, I count not yet myself to apprehended, and that's catalambano, full stop. But he goes on to say, but now this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, or those things are in the past. Okay?
I don't necessarily think he's talking about his Pharisee days there either. I think he may be talking about his kingdom affiliated things there.
Yeah. Okay. And reaching forth, he says, with outstretched arms, I think, unto those things which are before or in front of me. So he gives them some of the past, talks about the things I had, I count them but done, but the things of the future is the things that I look forward to. The things of the past, you can forget all that. We're starting over here.
We're past that.
Yeah, it's kind of like, this would be the introduction to the seven books, but it's put in our structure as the second book. Because I think it would be really tough to understand the things in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 unless you had this to help you get along. So, you know, one part of scripture backs up the other part of scripture. So let's look at 13 out of the Koine Greek. He says, brethren, I myself do not reckon to have laid hold one but the things truly behind, forgetting to the things before, stretching out. So he's reaching out to obtain those things that he knows he's got, but he's not really sure about having them yet.
Well, you got to think about there, whichever one you're facing, your back is to the other one.
Yeah.
You can't grab for both. You got to. Right. You can turn and grab from one, or you can turn and grab for the other.
Okay. If we have enough time, we'll get involved into that a little bit too. He says, brother, I myself do not reckon to have laid hold, but truly forgetting the things behind and stretching out to the things before. And Jack says this, now the past may be prologue, but it does not excuse laxity in the present. Looking unto the past can be a two-edged sword. Some may be encouraged to believe their work has been done. Others may be discouraged by a string of failures. And Paul here, the way he does it, he slays both dragons of time, and in these words he deals with the present. The past cannot excuse or condone wrong responses. The word for stretching has an athletic understanding. Physical exertion is involved as well as a degree of coordination. the present and the future will require activity. There's only one place here that Jack and Melga said to go look at, and that's back in the book of Job, 17:11, and it's on page 687 if you have a companion Bible. Job 17, 687, and we're looking at verse 11. Verse 11 says that my days are past, my purposes are broken off, even the thoughts of my heart. They change the night into day. The light is short because of darkness. If I wait, the grave is mine house. If I have made my bed in the darkness, I have said to corruption, thou art my father. To the worm, they art my mother and sister. And where is now my hope? As for my hope, who shall see it? Job had a hope, even though he was in dire straits in those days when he wrote a lot of the book of Job. Paul here is requiring activity also, and that activity was to walk the walk and have his conversation as it would be Christ-like. Because he says, God called me to teach what Jesus Christ didn't get to. In verse 14, how much time I got, Ronnie?
That's 9:12.
He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark. See, the physical activity is still going on here. You don't just sit back and wait on God to come and get you. There's something always needed to be done. And Paul says in my notes, he says, I press, and that I press is according to the goal that I follow after, toward a horizontal motion. That word is kata. And it's with purpose and intent. The mark is scopos. And there's different dealings with that word scopos. It's 46-49 in the Strong's. But in Paul's dealing here, it's something hidden or concealed. What he is following after, or what he's pressing to the mark for, and, you know, it's kind of like running a race. When you get to the end of the race, they'll put a mark across the finish line for you to know that you have met the mark. And this is what he's talking about, but he's pressing there toward the mark for the prize. And the prize is the little word EIS, east. And that means a line drawn from a point to reach another point for touching. And there's an illustration of that in 1 Corinthians 9:24. We're going to read it in a minute. And it's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And there's about three or four places here that we need to look at this too. But let's go ahead and read 14 in the Koine Greek, or out of the Koine Greek. He said, according to goal, I pursue unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So this is what Paul was reaching out for. He was reaching out for those things that he could attain through the high calling of God and God's Son. And to bring it down into today's version, he says, I pursue according to goal the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul is pursuing here. He is using his activity. He is in a chase. The word is according. Paul has a goal for which he pursues. That is, he runs as though he is chasing a goal. Now think about this. His security is not the issue here. The manner of his pursuit is the subject of the verse. He runs as though he is trying to attain the prize of the high calling. In reality, Paul has already been given this prize, yet he runs as though he must run to obtain it. The prize here, this little EIS in the Greek, is his place in the body of Christ. He works. He runs. He puts forth the effort to obtain the prize he's already been given with an effort which will never earn this prize. He's chasing for something that he's already got, but he's doing it in a way that he understands that that's the will of God, that he keeps going and keeps going and keeps going because pleroma is out there. It doesn't say it here, but we can read and understand that the fullness of the body of Christ is the goal.
I think it's what he was pressing toward.
It's the goal here. It was the goal of Paul, that everybody could understand and realize that to be in the body of Christ, to understand what your high calling is that the Holy Spirit can help place you there, because that's our GPS. That's the end of the faith line that I've talked to others about. It's like a zip line. And the Holy Spirit can hook you up to that line of faith. And that line of faith is the Lord's faith. It ain't our faith. We read last week about our faith as being like filthy rags. We couldn't help nobody. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the end of that faith. We cannot obtain the end of that faith unless we know and understand that. And so that's the reason with Christ there's not but one line. He is the way. It's through him that you get to the Father. And that's the end of the line. You don't have to have a double line like you see on television where it hooks somebody up and goes down the line. Because if something happens down there, they've got another line and put somebody on and rescue you. Well, Christ has already rescued you and me. We have been given the Spirit. We have been chosen by the Father and the Son in the throne room of God long before He ever created anything, before He ever created the earth, the world. Before it was ever in the deep, we were known by God.
Amen. Before the...
And the deal was made that the Son would come back as man and would take care of the sin for those that would believe it. And He came and did it. So it's His faith that we're hooked to. It's not our faith. We came to an understanding. But God gave us the faith to understand that. Because the mind and the heart has to be in accord for the Holy Spirit to work in you and me. Otherwise, we're fighting the battle that He has given us here. Because certainly the Holy Spirit needs the free roam to guide us, whether we know it or not,
yep.
To do that. Okay, we got time to do one more?
9:21.
Okay, let's do one more. Let's do 15. It says this. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, meaning that Paul is our example. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Now, wait a minute.
I'm anxious to see what the Greek is on that one.
Wait a minute. Let us therefore, or because of this, as many as be perfect in that telios, that which has reached its end, or in this case, a finish. That's what perfect is. When you're attached to the faith of the Lord, you're going to reach your end, or your finish line, whatever it is. Whatever Paul's running for, there was a finish down there somewhere.
There was a...
Same way with us.
Scope of the hope.
Yeah. He says, be thus minded, full stop. And if anything you be otherwise minded, okay, we have to look at that for a minute. It says, take full account as for your safety in this life. There's a lot of stories out there. There's a lot of things that has, that can have two different meanings. Take full account as for your safety in this life. God will reveal even this unto you. So this wisdom that God has left with us, and this knowledge that we obtain through our life here on this earth, and this what I call a test, because when Eve saw Satan in the garden, that's when the test began.
Yep.
And it's still going on. We're still in the test mode as long as we have breath and life. This is a test, folks. Are you passive? You know, we had a little, somebody come up with a little saying here at 11 o'clock news time on Channel 4 that we have here in Greenville. And they would ask the question, it's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? That was a little test for us parents to remind us, do we really know where our kids are at 11 o'clock tonight? Okay, so that's kind of what we're talking about here. They can be situations that you have to make decisions on. That's the reason we have the number 911 printed on our fire trucks, printed on our ambulances, printed on all these things where we might have to go and help people, because 9 is a judgment call and 11 is the judgment was it's beyond our control. We need help. And who else would be better to help us than the Father and the Son, the owner and the creator of where we are, what we are, and all that we are in those situations. There's 3 or 4 things we've got to look at, but let's go ahead and stop here tonight. We'll read those scriptures again at the next study. But see, Paul says, even though we've already attained all this stuff, that he comes to the observation and the judgment that, yeah, God's given me all this, but we don't need just to sit down. We still need to go on. And we need to do the work, because like I said earlier, what Paul has got here is new stuff from God. And so what he is teaching here is that we might all be complete in Christ. And so if we're complete in Christ and we're waiting on Christ, whether we're alive or dead, we will make up the pleroma of the body of Christ. Whether we're living or whether we're dead, we are going to appear with him.
Amen.
And so therefore, pleroma has not yet evidently been obtained, because we're still here tonight talking and teaching and trying to teach and trying to help people understand that being in the body of Christ is our hope. In the body of Christ. Pleroma, his fullness. And when he appears, he's going to appear full. Because you see, when he went back with his blood to the Father took all of this stuff he got from Mary, he done away with that, and he gave him his spiritual life back in full.
And then some.
And when he came back and he arose out of that grave, he was spiritual. He wasn't earthly anymore. He had the earthly look. He could show them the nail prints in his hand and all this, but he was there teaching them for 40 days, and he says, wait a few days and the Comforter will come. And the Comforter is the Holy Spirit. And so here we are, indwelled with this Holy Spirit, with the understanding that we're going to be part of Christ forevermore when he appears.
Amen.
When pleroma takes place. And if pleroma had taken place, we would not have been here tonight. We would have been gone. Think on these things. Think, it's so wonderful. How what else can we say? You know, nobody else was given this hope. The heavenly city might be a great thing, but it's not. And, you know, and life on and on and on was a great thing. But here, to be part and parcel of the body of Christ, and we don't really know very much about what that entails. But what we do know, it's going to be something much greater, much, much greater than we could ever imagine or hope.
I'll take a chance on it. Huh? I'll take a chance on it.
Okay. Yeah. I will too. So thank you for being with us tonight. God bless. Love y'all. We'll give you another thimbleful next week if the Lord's willing and the creeks don't rise.